Good morning. It's 7:33. I'm Beneduccio in Morgantown. A local research group has calculated that roughly $61 million was lost by local businesses as a result of the chemical spill into the Elk River. Clark Davis has the story.
The Center for Business and Economic Research at Marshall University conducted a preliminary investigation on the impact of the January 9th chemical spill into the Elk River. They wanted to see what the loss of water and the subsequent closing of restaurants and other businesses meant to the economic climate in the nine counties affected by the water ban. CBER estimates that for each day that the ban was fully in place, $19 million was lost. Christine Risch is the Director of Resource and Energy Economics at CBER.
Water is very much like electricity, and it's such an essential service that people take for granted in running their households and providing goods and services for their customers. And once it's not available, it's very difficult to function.
CBER estimates at $19 million a day the total money lost to be roughly $61 million for the two business days and two weekend days where businesses could not operate. The amount equals about 24% of the economic activity in the area. Risch says some restaurants were closed for an entire week, and even upon opening, the fear of whether the water is safe keeps consumers away, and it keeps restaurants using bottled water.
Many of them still are using bottled water because their customers don't trust the water. And so that's an additional expense that they have taken on. So some of them will never be able to regain what they lost from that first week or 4 days. Some of them, their customers may be coming back stronger and now.
Risch says they want to delve deeper into the long-term effects with future studies that will take time. The number of affected workers, according to CBER, is estimated to be nearly 75,000 for each business day the ban was fully in place, which represents 41% of area workers. CBER says the high number is indicative of the type of businesses that were most affected, restaurants, bars, and the like, and the lower-wage service-producing personnel that work at those facilities. She says it will take a while before even the businesses know what the ban will mean long-term.
I imagine they're still calculating that, and some of them may have a pretty good picture if they had a clean break, as in 4 days, with cleanly lost business, and then back to normal after that. But I think there's probably still some calculations to do for those that are buying bottled water, and those who had damaged equipment, which happened in a few cases, and those who had to change their employment structure.
The report says establishments in the restaurant and lodging industries are less likely to recover lost revenues and are among those that will continue to be most affected. Estimation of wages permanently lost by hourly workers will take more studies. Risch says the other thing they are interested in looking at is how areas like Huntington got a boost from the ban.
We heard that in the initial 4 days in a week, Huntington got quite a bit of business from people that felt like they needed to come here to do their shopping and their dining. And sometimes the legacy of these kind of events do linger. I mean, it may only linger for a couple months. It could linger for several months. And that's a question we might just have to wait and see.
The estimated $61 million loss does not include the cost of cleaning up the spill or emergency funds spent during the spill. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
Frustration and anger continue to mount in the affected counties of last month's chemical spill. West Virginians are getting schooled in chemistry and biology and are suddenly intimately involved in considering the bigger picture of environmental regulations on industrial activities. Three experts, one on water quality, one on environmental health, and one on public health, spoke on the West Virginia Public Broadcasting show, The Law Works, about these issues. All three gentlemen say the chemical spill into the Elk River could have been prevented and that the state and the company involved, Freedom Industries, should have done more. Paul Zemkevich with the West Virginia Water Research Institute says his organization is involved in testing the water in Charleston.
An ounce of prevention is worth a ton of cure. And if we had proper regulations concerning the safety of large tanks, this wouldn't be an issue. Even if the tank had leaked, it would never have gotten off the site.
Zemkevich says he's recently been to Charleston and drank the water. He says he didn't hesitate because he couldn't detect a strange odor from the water. But he adds people shouldn't drink it if they are detecting a foul odor.
For my personal use, I would recommend that if you can smell it, don't drink it. It should not smell funny. But remember, these water distribution systems are not just a straight pipe going from the plant out to your tap. There are big water tanks along the system. You have hot water tanks in your house. There are reservoirs, there are public buildings that have cisterns, water systems, there are dead ends leading to fire hydrants, and these drain slowly. So it's a very complex network out there that stores some contaminated water for a very long period of time before it starts getting in back into the water system, and other stuff flushes through very quickly. So you can have water flush through, and then you have back pressure that allows water to come down out of a dead end, like from a fire hydrant, and now you've got the smell coming back again. So I would be very, very cautious about it.
The chemical MCHM is used to clean coal. It was developed to meet newer, more stringent clean coal regulations as a substitute for diesel fuel. Some question the need to continue developing and using fossil fuels like coal, since environmental problems so often seem to be the trade-off. West Virginia University doctor Alan Duckettman says there needs to be balance in using extraction resources.
In everybody's defense, that's not an easy thing to do, because we rely for our health on these useful products. We are not ready yet to do without fossil fuels in order to stay warm in the winter and cool in the summer and to light our homes and to run our hospitals. So we need those things, but we also haven't yet found the right balance where the industries have some responsibilities.
This includes being held fiscally responsible for violating the Clean Water Act, which is what occurred as soon as that chemical reached the Elk River. Pat McGinley, an environmental lawyer, says enforcement is just as important as regulation.
Regulation is not a dirty word. It not only protects public health, it also protects jobs. We could also try actually enforcing the law, which was intended to protect our nation's water. We've done better than we did before the enactment of regulation, but just having laws on the books and regulations on the books doesn't do the job. The law has to be enforced, and those who have that responsibility in too many instances are falling down on the job.
McGinley says he hopes the incident is a wake-up call for residents to press their legislators harder on these issues and to hold those responsible accountable for their actions. Alan Duckettman says the heroes in the Elk River spill should be commended for the work they did as well.
There have been some, a few. I'd have to say that when people needed them, day one, Kanawha-Charleston Health Department made very, very clear explicit instructions about what was open, what was closed, and that saved a lot of grief.
A later The Law Works show will be dedicated to scrutinizing the actions Freedom Industries took in the wake of their spill. This is West Virginia Morning at 7:41. The public has an opportunity to weigh in on a bill that would allow landfills in West Virginia to increase capacity to accept waste and cuttings from natural gas horizontal drilling. The House of Delegates Judiciary Committee has scheduled a public hearing on the bill for 5 p.m. this evening in the House chamber at the Capitol. House Energy Committee Chairman Kevin Craig and Department of Environmental Protection Secretary Randy Huffman say landfills are the best option for disposal of drilling cuttings. The National Resource Defense Council is disappointed with the State Department of Environmental Protection's decision to renew a permit for an underground injection well, or UIC, in Fayette County. Although the DEP is ordering an above-ground waste pit closed, the permit allows Danny Webb Construction to accept fluids from oil and gas exploration, development drilling, and production fluids for another 5 years. Jessica Lilly reports.
The DEP renewed the permit earlier this month for a Class 2 UIC, or Underground Injection Disposal Well, owned by Danny Webb Construction. The permit had expired in 2012. Residents and even former construction workers testified at a public hearing in June 2013, strongly opposing the site. Upon evaluation, DEP workers found a pit filled with fracking water and other waste from oil and gas drilling. The pit was used to help remove sediments from the waste before injecting underground. Amy Maul is a senior policy analyst with the Natural Resource Defense Council, a national environmental advocacy group.
And those pits are just notorious for leaking, overflowing, emitting vapors into the air, from a long list of problems that present risk to the local community and the environment.
The DEP found that the pit or pond above ground does not meet the minimum pit and impoundment standards. Although the DEP did not find the pit to be leaking, officials say it needs to be upgraded. Underground Injection Control Permit reviewer for the DEP Office of Oil and Natural Gas, James Peterson, told West Virginia Public Radio that the pit needs a leak detection system and a new liner. Peterson says the operator was told to submit a plan to fix the issues with the pit, but that never happened. Still, while the DEP waited on the plan, the operator could continue to accept and inject waste underground in the well. The Natural Resource Defense Council sent a letter to the DEP the same day our original story aired last month. In the statement, the council urged the department to shut down the wells since Danny Webb Construction was not operating with a valid permit. Amy Mall responds to the order for a pit plan.
This is a site that should already have a plan. The DEP and its inspectors have determined that there have been multiple violations for years at that site, and it's just unacceptable that they don't have a plan now. That's just laughable, really. It's no way to protect public health and the environment.
Peterson says the site's only been issued 5 citations or violations in the past 10 years. Still, a permit was granted for the injection well with the condition that the company close the above-ground waste pit. Residents have spoken out against this well and waste pond near the well for years. The NRDC is not the only group that's spoken out in opposition of the site. The Plateau Action Network, West Virginia Highlands Conservancy, and the Sierra Club have also sent letters to the DEP.
If DEP does give the operator an opportunity to come up with a way to make the site safe, then a permit shouldn't be granted until it's proven that the site is safe.
Mall says the main issue the NRDC takes with this pit in Fayette County is the same for wells across the country. Mall says federal law that governs hazardous waste has a loophole for oil and gas waste that was created in the 1980s with the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act.
So regardless of how dangerous or toxic it might be, it's not subject to the same laws as hazardous waste from other industries. And that's why we're really concerned about these sites, not only in West Virginia, but across the country, and why they need to be very carefully monitored and use the highest standards. And states should be on top of these things because of the lack of federal law.
Mall says a bill introduced this past summer in Washington could help close this loophole. The NRDC is supporting the Cleaner Act, or the Closing Loopholes and Ending Arbitrary and Needless Evasion of Regulations Act of 2013. Danny Webb Construction currently has another UIC permit under consideration for renewal. It's currently in the public comment period. In the meantime, the DEP is asking the operator to submit an engineered plan to properly close the above-ground pond. This pit and the well have received waste from Pennsylvania, Virginia, and other parts of West Virginia. The DEP says there are 54 non-commercial and 17 commercial disposal wells in the state as of late last year. Danny Webb Construction did not immediately return our request for comment. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jessica Lilly in Athens.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our director is Chuck Anzalevich. Our news director is Bob Powell. From Morgantown, our news director is Beth Voorhees. From Morgantown, I'm Beneduccio. Good morning.